to season 6 of Faith and Friends. I'm your host, your friend, and your sister in Christ, Georgia Brown. And seriously, I am so grateful to be back to another season of the podcast. Now, it's been a hot minute since we have had a chat together, and I have a lot to catch you up on. First of all, I hope you're well. Happy New Year. I know it's already March, but it's been a minute. Y'all, next big thing. Okay, if you're joining me here on YouTube, you see this shiny, shiny ring on my finger. If you're listening, y'all, hold your hands at 10 and 2 if you're driving, and you better sit down if you're just in your house chilling. Y'all, I can't believe it, but I am going to be getting married this year. I am over the moon, and I cannot wait to share him with you. You will be seeing a lot of him on the podcast this season as we just unpack our courting season together, and we're gonna interview couples as we just go into this new season of engagement and, before you know it, marriage together. But also, of course, as you know, Faith and Friends is all about growing in our faith with our friends. So we're gonna have a lot of new friends on the show this season, and I'm very, very, very excited. So really, I just wanted this first episode for this new season to be us catching up a little bit, and I wanted to talk about this right here. If you're joining me on YouTube, this is the first ever glimpse into my new prayer closet as I moved from Murfreesboro, Tennessee to now Mount Juliet, Tennessee, just about 45 minutes north, and I'm just down the street from my church, and it has been incredible. Y'all, with getting married, I just told myself, and I was telling the Lord, I was like, listen, Lord, if I'm gonna be getting married, I really wanna live on my own. Because as you know, if we've been friends for a minute, you know that I was living with my brother and my cat, Cece, which, you know, Cece still stayed with Tanner Brown, which is totally fine. And Tanner got married. And as I just was looking towards a transition in my own personal life, I was like, Lord, I need to live on my own. And what's so also sweet about that is Ryan has an incredible son. His name's Ryder. He's 4 and a half. He is the light of my life. I love him so much. I'm his Miss Georgia. It's my favorite role ever. And I was like, Lord, if I'm gonna be a mom and a wife at the same time, I definitely need to live on my own. So the Lord, in his goodness, in his kindness, just like a couple months later, I had the opportunity to move and be out on my own, as now another transition in my life happened as I'm on staff at my church, full-time being a worship director and worship leader. These are such sweet surprises that I did not see coming. So y'all, we have a lot to unpack this season, and I can't wait to hear life updates on how you have been, sweet friend. But as we're in this prayer closet together, y'all, the biggest question that I get on Instagram, here on the podcast, is how do you start a prayer closet? And so as I moved into this new prayer closet here in Mount Juliet, the Lord did such a mighty work in shifting my heart and just truly purifying me more and more and more. And he does that in and out of every season, right? He'll take us and then he'll mold us and he'll be like, okay, time to go back into the refining fire once again. And it's so sweet to just seek him in and through every season. And so as I began this new prayer closet, I asked him, like, Lord, what do you want it to look like? Because I think something that I wanted to do was I wanted my old season and my old house to be just like a cookie cutter here. But when the Lord is doing a new thing, he makes all things new, not just some. And so I think that's something when you're in a transition, you have to realize there are things that are gonna come with you and things you gotta leave behind. Like, there were clothes I couldn't bring to this new house. I had to ask the Lord, what can go with me? And so as I got into this new prayer closet, y'all, it was so crazy. He said, I just want you to pray in here. And I was like, okay. Because before, I was doing my whole quiet time in here. I was reading books in here. And I even brought my phone in here just to like listen to worship music and stuff. But this new prayer closet, the Lord said, just pray. So I'm like, okay. So you'll find me in this season praying on the couch, having worship music on my TV, and then just coming in here to pray. And so the first thing I want you to know about a prayer closet is it is all relational. Jesus is relational. He came to truly fulfill it all, but he came to show us it is not about religion. It is not about rules. It is about freedom and relationship. So I don't ever want you to think George's way is the highway. No, 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 no. I just want to share what I've learned, honestly. And if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, great. We can figure this out together. So for me, I'm just going to share from my personal experience because that's all I really can share. But from that, it's kind of like listening to songs. Like as a musician, I listen to the way someone sings a song and I like it. And then I listen to the same song sung by a different friend. And I'm like, wow, I can blend these things together to create what I want to sound like. Same with a prayer closet. You may find someone else that you really like the way they do something, and you and Jesus just get to figure it out together. So I want you to have freedom and fun with this, because a friendship with the Father is supposed to be fun. Okay? So here's the first thing. It doesn't also have to be a closet. But for me, I started this journey back in 2019. It was like right before the pandemic, y'all. Throwback. And it honestly birthed out of a really hard season. But let me back up even further. Have you seen the movie War Room? Okay, if you have not, that is your homework from me. It is one of the most incredible movies, probably my favorite movie to this day. It is by the Kendrick Brothers, and it is a movie on prayer, how a prayer strategy saved a hurting family. Oh, it's incredible. So go find that wherever you stream your movies. But I watched that movie and I saw how this sweet character, Miss Clara, would pray in her closet. And I thought, oh, that's cool. But I didn't think anything further than that because I didn't have a walk-in closet. Growing up in Arkansas, y'all, you would literally open up the door, grab what you wanted, close the door, and go. So it just never crossed my mind that, oh, I could just pray somewhere else, you know? And so my prayers at this point in my life, even to 2019, was just praying before meals, praying when I really was struggling or needed something or to hear from the Lord, and praying before bed, right? Just that was my rhythms. It wasn't a truly praying without ceasing kind of life. And that's what he's called us to. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, three simple words, pray without ceasing. And another translation says, never stop praying. Does that reflect your life? If it doesn't, it's fine, because that's how mine was. But we aren't going to stay where we are. The Lord wants to take us further. So let's cultivate this life together. So in 2019, I remembered that movie as I stepped into this hard moment with a friend. It was actually my roommate at the time, and we sat down on the couch. She was like, Georgia, can I talk to you? And I was like, of course you can. So y'all, we go to sit down, and I'm really grateful she felt safe to share this with me. My friend had gone to a party and things went south pretty quickly as she said no and this individual did not stop. And she got taken advantage of in a way that no girl or no human ever should. It literally broke me to pieces to where I did not know what to do or what to say. And I just sat there and held her hands and I gave her a hug. I didn't feel confident in my own prayer life to even pray over her and take authority over this situation as she was feeling an array of emotions. But the Lord in his kindness and sovereignty met us in that moment as I, you know, hugged her, and that was the prayer in that moment. And after we went our separate ways, I found my way into my own room in that apartment. And I had a walk-in closet. And I was numb. I was numb knowing that my friend went through this. It hit too close to home. So I found myself somehow on the floor. And I remembered that movie. And I got out a piece of paper and I wrote out a prayer for this friend. And it was not the perfect prayer. It was the most raw and honest prayer I'd ever prayed. I just laid it all out before the Father, telling him how I felt. And then I stuck it on the wall. And then, after crying all the tears that I had in that moment, I had to get up, I closed the door, and I went on. And then the next morning came, and I found myself sitting in that closet again. And day in and day out, I just showed up and I would pray for somebody that I would either see that day, I saw the day before, or someone that the Lord had placed on my heart. Y'all, I was even praying for my professors, okay? Any person, I just lifted them up. And so before you know it, college was over and I packed up that closet and I moved. And then I moved again. And so this is my fourth move. And here I am in my very own apartment of my own. I've had lots of different prayer closets. I've learned a lot. I've cried a lot of tears. And every day I've just shown up, even on the days when I didn't feel like it. And so I think the biggest thing about cultivating your prayer life and really deepening your journey with the Lord, or even just starting a prayer closet, is just showing up. And again, it doesn't have to be the four walls of a closet. It can be a chair. It can be a mirror in your bathroom. Wherever you can just sit, dwell, linger a little longer, and be without distractions to be with your Father. Because prayer, what is it? It is a two-way conversation where there is active participating and active listening. If you're new to Faith and Friends, I encourage you to go back. At the beginning of last year, we did a whole 20-episode series on what prayer is. And they are the episodes featured in my first devotional, Hi God, It's Me. Let me tell you what. Hi God, It's Me. This book was actually birthed in my prayer closet. Y'all, I was on a 21-day fast, my first big fast, and it was on day 4 of that fast. I'm literally on my face in my prayer closet, and I was like, Lord, what's next? What's next for me? And the Lord just whispered ever so quietly. I had never heard the audible voice of God, still haven't, but this felt almost audible. It was like so loud on my heart. And I just knew it was Him, because I would never say this to myself. All I heard was book. And I was like, what? Huh? That can't be me. That can't be me. That's all my other friends. No, 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 no. Not me. Anyways, to make a long story short, with a lot of faith and a lot of work and hard, here it is. And it is available anywhere books are sold. It was released last July, and I'm so proud of this. This is like my first little book baby. And so there are QR codes on every day of the devotional to lead you to a podcast episode with a friend to grow deeper in your faith. And I just pray that they bless you. They truly encouraged me. It was so funny because you think a conversation's gonna go a certain way, but then you get into that conversation and the Holy Spirit takes over and it goes a total different direction. And it far exceeded my expectations, because if man does it, you're gonna know. But if it's the Lord, oh my gosh, no one can take credit for it except for Him alone. And that's what this book, like, it is all by Him, for Him, and through Him that it is made possible. So shameless plug there. But yeah, a prayer closet is so, so fun. I literally love meeting with the Lord here. Another thing that I think is so sweet, and this is just a little thing, take it or leave it, is I don't allow myself to wear shoes in here. I love in Exodus where it talks about Moses and the burning bush. And he said, no, 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 take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. What are you setting apart for the Lord? Friend, are you setting yourself apart for the Lord? Are you allowing your house to be a place that is set apart for the Lord? And that's what I love about this prayer closet, is this is set apart for the Lord. This is where I meet with Him, and this is where truly heaven is brought to earth, and where my prayers are heard and they shake the very atmosphere, right? And yes, that's everywhere we go, because we are planet shakers. We are atmosphere changers. We are world changers. We know that. But to go into the inner room, as it says in Matthew 6, if you have the Word of God with you, I would love for you to turn to Matthew 6. This was a huge inspiration for Hi God, It's Me. But it says here in Matthew 6, but when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by man. Hold up, pause. This is Matthew 6, verse 5. It doesn't say if you pray. No, no, no. Sweet believer, sweet woman of God, man of God, listen, if you profess Christ and say that you are his disciple, you are his child, you should be talking to him. It's not a matter of if you pray, but when. When should you be praying? Well, if 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says pray without ceasing, when that other translation says never stop praying, you should be praying all the time. It should be like a phone conversation where you pick that phone up when you first wake up in the morning and you're like, hey, good morning, Lord. Hi, God, it's me. And keep that phone call going all throughout the day. And when you lay your head on the pillow at night and you say good night, you say amen, and you hang up, and then you rest, and you get up, and you do it all over again. Even when there's silence on the phone call, you know each other are there. It's kind of like, too, in that movie Up, where they're like sitting in their little chairs and not saying anything at all. That's how close I want to be with the Father, that we can be together, not even say a thing, but we know where each other are at. And so when we pray, we're not to be like those that are, you know, wanting to be seen in public. Now listen, your public life is only going to be as powerful as your private life. So here's the thing, your name should be known in heaven and in hell, okay? And our prayer life is what shakes both. We need to walk in authority, and that authority is found in being tethered to the vine. So what are you tethered to? Are you tethered to him? Because the more that you talk to him, you're going to sound like him. But the more that you are with the world, you're going to sound like the world, and your prayer life is going to reflect that. And I want us praying with authority, not with influence. We need to be praying in authority, praying the word of God. So you have to be with him to know what he sounds like, to know what he likes, what he doesn't like, and what his word says. So we need to be praying, not in public first, okay? We need to be praying in private first, because then as we go out, people will say, I know your source. You are connected to the vine, as John 15 talks about. Because what this is referencing to, you know, these are letters in red. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus is talking about all them religious folk that are in the synagogues, in the streets, wanting to be seen. Are you doing it to be seen? Are you doing it to be known by your Father? Would you rather be seen by man on social media, showing that, oh, I can pray, or you're just posting the reel because you can? Or would you rather put the phone away, your Father know you in secret, and then guess what? We'll go on to read, he will reward you openly. So this verse is telling us we really need to be in private with our prayer lives first. We aren't to do this just to be seen by man. You know what it says in that verse, in verse 5 of Matthew 6? I say to you, says Jesus, they will have their reward in full. So if you're doing it for the likes, the clicks, the followers, doing it to be seen, to have approval of man, to show them, hey, look how spiritual I am, there's your reward right there. If you're wanting it just for the public praise, there you got it. But do you want it in private, being affirmed by your Father who sees you in secret? Where's your heart's motive at when it comes to prayer? Are they selfish prayers or are they selfless prayers? Because there's so much power in prayer. There's so much authority. And we unpack all of that in those 20 episodes of Hi God, It's Me. So I'm really, this first episode is just fire hydrant of kind of the overflow of my heart. I didn't have any outline. I really just missed you and wanted to spend time with you. And so as you go on here in Matthew 6, verse 6, it says, but when you pray, go into your inner room. That's kind of where I got the heart for the prayer closet. Your inner room. Close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Oh, I love it. It really reminds me of Psalm 139 where he says, you know, if I go to the heavens, I see you. If you're down in Sheol, I see you. You can't escape his presence, right? Oh, let's go to that. I was just basically saying the Georgia Brown translation. But Psalm 139, friends, it is so good. It says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up, Psalm 139, verse 2. You understand my thoughts from afar. Even before a word is on my tongue, says verse 4, behold, Oh Lord, you know it all. So he already knows what you're gonna pray before you pray, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be praying it. He wants to hear it from you in your inner room, in private. And then it says, your Father, verse 6 of Matthew 6, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Are you doing it for the reward? No, but whatever you sow, you're gonna reap. So if you're praying, if you're fasting, if you're interceding on their behalf, you will see beauty flourish from that. Will it be the way that you expected? No, and it probably won't be because his ways and his thoughts are so much higher than ours, as it says in the book of Isaiah. But let me tell you what, it doesn't mean to not plant the seed. They need you to plant the seed in prayer. Because here's the thing. The spirit and the flesh are totally against each other, right? We can't just halfway walk in the spirit and then think, oh, I'm just gonna halfway walk in the flesh. I honestly had this revelation this past week. I had a situation where I was like, listen. I don't have time to fight this in the natural. Because where I'm at spiritually and where this other friend is at spiritually, if I were to tell you where I'm at and just talk to you about it, I'm not sure you would catch it by the Spirit. So I'm just gonna pray, and I'm just gonna pray with authority and take this to the Lord. And you know what? Being all in spiritually caused me no harm. It only was for my good and for God's glory and for that friend's good to just beseech the throne of God on their behalf, on my behalf, without trying to fight in the flesh. So what have you been trying to fight in the natural when you just need to go straight into the supernatural? Friends, let's talk about that for a minute. If you have your Bible, please go to Romans 8. Just a couple quick good verses for you here. Listen. If you're in the flesh, let me just tell you what it says. Romans 8, verse 8 says, for those who are in the flesh, if you're operating out of the flesh of your own self, speaking before listening and asking the Lord, it says this, if for those who are in the flesh, you cannot please God. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want to please God. I want to please God with the way that I act, the way I react, the way that I think, the way that I act, and the way that I pray. Oh, however, verse 9, you are not in the flesh. He's talking about those who are in the spirit, those that are abiding in and have claimed Christ and are walking in the spirit, the fruit of the spirit, Galatians 5, 22 through 23, love, joy, peace, all of those goodness ones, you know. But for those of you in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though your body is dead because of sin, your spirit is alive because of righteousness. There's so much goodness here. Verse 6 says, for if the mind is set on the flesh, that is death. But the mindset on the spirit is a life and peace. So if you're walking in the flesh, if I would have walked in the flesh in this situation with this friend and not just gone into the spirit on all angles, walking in the flesh is death. It would have produced no good fruit for me to handle this in the natural. But by going to prayer first, fast, and most of all, that produces life. And guess what else? Peace. You know why? Because you're not doing things out of flesh and blood, out of your own strength, out of God's will. Because if you're out of God's will, things are so hard. So I don't know what it is this week that you're trying to fight in the natural, but I need you to get snatched up in the spirit and start praying in authority over these situations to tell the dry bones to come alive, to tell all those hindering and monitoring spirits or just the confusion, the jealousy, the bitterness, all of it to cease in Jesus' name, that confusion to turn into clarity. And for the Lord to make a way when there is no way. For you to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. To deny yourself and pick up your cross daily. It is time. It is time, friends. And so that's why it's so important to pray. So, I was just so grateful for that revelation because half obedience is full disobedience. So if I would have taken this situation and just been like, texting this person and just trying to figure out all the details, do all the things, they not maybe catch it and then go to prayer and then be like, Lord, I just pray you'd really work it out. Okay, yes. Does he hear my prayers? Yes. But what if he was like, baby girl, daughter, why didn't you come to me first? So let me ask you, friend, who are you going to first? Are you going to him? Or are you going to them? The man? Or the one who made man? God, your father, the one who only has your best interest at heart. The one that knows it all and wants to reveal himself to you and how to get in and through every situation. I can't do it without the Spirit. I cannot do it without the Spirit of the living God living inside of me and asking him. And so when it comes to prayer, I want you to start asking him deeper questions. I used to just ask the Lord, can I do this? And you know, I still have. Can I do this? And he'll say, yeah. But then I realized that's not the question I should have been asking. Should I do this? Is this your will for my life? So the more you're with a friend, you start asking better and deeper questions, more intentional, more thought out. You listen a little harder. You want to just stay a little longer. And so my prayer is that you would just want to be with him. That's all I want, is for you to be with him. For you to realize the authority that you have in his name, because you are already seated in heavenly places. So I don't know if it's a closet. I don't know if it's a comfy chair, your back porch, your kitchen table, or just sitting on top of your bed. But I want you to sit with him. Think of that place. Think of those people that need your prayers. Your family, your friends, the time is now to intercede. So rise up, warrior, it's time. So here's a little few nitty gritty details about the prayer closet that I always get asked. What kind of paper do you use? What do you use to stick them up on the walls? Do you use tape? No, I don't, because that would rip off the paint. What pens do I use? So let's talk about it all. I love these jumbo note cards, like so much. Y'all, they're actually from Walmart. Walmart has a jumbo pack of note cards, 100 count, for literally less than $3. So yes, take my money. You do the math how much that is per card. It's like so nothing. But you don't have to use jumbo note cards. You don't even have to put them on your wall at all. It's just what I found has worked for me. When it comes to the sticky stuff, there's this adhesive. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like a sticky tack. And I've noticed there's some blue stuff, and then the kind that I have right now is like a tan color. I like the blue one better than the tan. The tan seems not to stick as much, but it's like a blue sticky tack. And you can just use a tiny bit. You don't have to use much, but it comes right off the wall without taking any of the paint. This is a great adhesive to just use to stick on surfaces that you don't want to like hurt the area. And then I use Sharpies. I love color. I think it's so fun. Why not, you know? So I use colorful Sharpies and I try to like make every day a different color. So then you just get like a rainbow of beauty, which is God's promise, you know? So that's super fun. And I also learned along this journey, at first I wasn't dating them at the top right corner, and I really wish I should have, because it would have just been so great to know what I was praying on what day. And so now I've started to do that. I'll put the date in the top right corner. And people often ask me, what do you do with the prayers afterwards? And so what I have found at the end of each year, or if I'm moving, because obviously I will be moving soon in literally like 2.5 months, 3 months almost. What I will do is I will take all of them off the prayer wall. I'll take all the blue sticky stuff off. It's a whole process. Then I take a hole punch, and I do it on all of them. And I get these little ring bindings, like, and then I just put them on the ring binder and I keep them, and I have a whole stack from all of the prayer closets. I write like the address of what house or what apartment that was at. And then I put that on a little binding on top, and then I put a little ribbon on it, and I just keep them all. And I just really want those to be, honestly, like pillars in my journey, in my walk of faith. Because we invest in so many things. We invest in subscriptions to watch shows, you know, makeup, whatever it may be, right? Going on trips. But we need to invest in our faith so much more. And, you know, sometimes we read the word or we pray without really like taking note of where we are in our journey. And so to have these, and having a stack, like my stack's like this tall after the last like 5 years. I want my kids to see that someday and go, wow, mama prays. Like mama talks to the Lord. For my grandkids someday, if the Lord tarries, hallelujah, to see like, wow, this is what has been set before me. This is the road that has been paved. Just as a pillar, as an Ebenezer moment, you know? So anywho, that's just what I found has worked for me. And then I often get asked, do you pray them every day? I don't. You know, we'll sit here and I'll pray over them as a whole, but every day I just add to it with different people. And you know what's so funny too? Sometimes it will be the same person for a week and I'll just do another note card for that person. And it's so beautiful to see how the prayers have been answered in the way that I thought or the way that I didn't think. And there's many that I'm still waiting on, but that doesn't mean not to show up. So friend, I just want you to show up. Whatever that looks like. The Lord never asked you to just go and feed the 5,000. He just asked you to show up with your loaves and your fishes. And for me, when that comes to prayer, I can spend 5 minutes praying for someone to move heaven and earth on their behalf because of what the Spirit of the Living God can do in and through me. Absolutely, I'll do that. Because I'm tired of us saying, I'll pray for you. Have you ever done this? And then you forget. Why not just send a text real quick or a voice memo or set aside 5 minutes to lift them up? Not even that, 30 seconds, a minute. It is all about intentionality. And you can do this, friend. You can do it. My pastor often says that the amount that will stuff a mouse would starve an elephant. But no matter if you're the mouse right now in your prayer life or the elephant, just show up and the Lord will meet you right there. And if you don't know what to pray, He'll show up and show you the way. It truly is easy, simple as can be. Like 1, 2, 3. All you gotta say is, hi God, it's me. Sweet friends, thank you so much for joining me in this first episode of season 6. I'm super duper pumped for the Fridays to come. We will have a new episode just about every Friday, so make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts or join us here on YouTube at Georgia Brown Faith and Friends. Y'all, do you hear this fun music? I'm so happy. My fiance made it. Oh, that feels so fun to say. Okay, so next week we will be hanging out with my fiance, the one and only Ryan Williams, and we are gonna be chit-chatting about our story. I'm really excited to see how that goes, of how we're gonna end up sharing our story, if we'll go back and forth. Honestly, y'all, please bear with me. I'll probably do a lot of interrupting because I get so excited and I'm really working on being quick to listen, slow to speak. I'm not really an angry person at all, so, you know, being slow to anger is pretty easy. But, oh, I just get so excited, especially when talking to him. He's incredible. I can't wait to share him with you, so make sure to come on back next week. I pray that this episode blessed you, met you right where you're at. And if you have a friend that's interested in growing their prayer life, you should totally share this episode with them. Well, y'all, until I see you next week, please do not forget, there is a song on your heart. Only you can sing. Your voice is important.